Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Well, you've heard the news, President Biden's student loan debt forgiveness. It's tied up in the federal courts right now. That breather that a lot of people were hoping for is on hold for now. And that means you still owe. Heading into the holiday spending season, that's one temptation you may need to avoid tonight. Student loans, holiday spending, and debt. How do you manage your own finances in a tricky economy? My guests tonight are Dr. Tisa Silver Kennedy, award-winning author and student loan debt expert, and financial advisor Muriel Garr. If you have a comment or a question about your money issues, particularly surrounding the student loan debt issue, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Tisa, thanks for joining the program. It's good to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure to be here, Harold.
Okay, and Muriel, always glad to have you on the program as well.
It's great to be here.
So let's first talk about this student loan debt situation, Tisa. Of course, the president announced earlier this year that he was going to, you know, provide this student loan debt. This is was particularly the case for Pell recipients, you know, and the like, you know, the federal student loans. Well, then the politics got involved. And first we were talking $50,000, and then it dropped down to $20,000. And right now, because of the wrangling in the federal courts, we got nothing right now. Give me kind of the rundown of where we are right now with this.
So for right now, things are on hold. Back in August, President Biden announced a relief plan that would provide up to $20,000 per federal student loan borrower as long as they met income thresholds and also had certain types of loans. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of excitement because millions of people were expecting that they would be student loan debt free for many of them by the end of this year. But several people have filed lawsuits trying to block the plan, and some of those lawsuits were dismissed, but others have now made some headway and resulted in the distribution of those cancellation benefits being blocked. So right now, for those who were not able to complete the application prior to this most recent lawsuit, the application is no longer available. For those who did complete the application, their applications are now in limbo because the distribution of that cancellation has been halted. So for right now, we're waiting to see the suit work its way through courts. There will be appeals. The Department of Justice actually appealed the most recent ruling that blocked distribution from taking place. So there's definitely a fluid situation here. And just like you said, politics are involved, and that's when things slow down. So I am eagerly waiting to see what happens, and I hope that what's right ultimately will prevail.
But Muriel, isn't this one of those kinds of situations where, you know, that old saying, don't count your chickens until they're hatched? I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who were thinking, hey, look, I can get $20,000 worth of student loan debt relief. That means, you know, turn up on the credit cards. Holiday shopping is underway.
Well, I think it's more the case of politics, 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 politics. But I think your point is when people think that something's going to actually be removed from their plate, they immediately think on how they can put something else on their plate, right? And when we talk about financial stewardship, unfortunately, we get caught into this whole vicious cycle of accruing more debt versus saving, saving, savings.
Yeah, and I would imagine that, I mean, and it's easy to think that way. And as I, you know, said earlier, this is called the holiday shopping season. Some people call it the holiday spending season. Black Friday is out the door. It's now Black November. It could have been Black October as we lead into this holiday shopping season. So the temptation is there.
Well, the temptation is there because those who are retailers understand the human psyche. So those Black Fridays that you talked about going back to October are all as a result of issues around the supply chain. And because of those issues associated with the supply chain, as a result of COVID, retailers didn't have merchandise in their stores and consumers were anxious to spend. If you think about what's happened in the last 2+ years, consumers started saving more. The savings rate went up. They were flush with cash. But in addition to being flush with cash, they were locked in their homes. And so there is something about the psyche associated with that. When they were released from their homes, the first thing they wanted to do was go places they hadn't been and start spending on things. Problem being, the things that they were looking to spend money on weren't in the stores because the supply chain had been disrupted as a result. So, supply chain has eased up. All that back inventory is starting to come in. Retailers need to move that back inventory. And so they need to start appealing to the consumer now. Go in your wallet, pull out your credit card, start spending now, because they need to move that merchandise off of their shelves. Black Friday has never been for the consumer. Black Friday is for the retailer, for them to take their books and get their books out of the red into the black or into the green. They're no longer operating in a negative cash flow position. They're operating at a surplus because we're doing what? We're spending more, spending more, spending more. So the psyche behind that is just because you see it on sale or you see an advertisement of Black Friday doesn't mean that you go out and spend money that you don't have on things that you don't need and you really don't need to invest in. If we start thinking about ourselves as consumers and start thinking about long term, what do I really want for my life? Then our concern wouldn't necessarily be about trying to help that retailer on Black Friday.
Tisa, what impact do you believe student loan debt has on not just spending power, but also saving power?
I think that many people who have student loan debt don't feel as though they can save, because many of us are told that if you look at the benefits of saving from an interest-bearing perspective, savings accounts don't pay you that much. But at the same time, they have this debt that for many years was steadily accruing interest. So the thought was throw more money toward the student loans, because in the long run, it would pay off to reduce the amount that they have outstanding overall. So for the majority of people that I work with, there's just a feeling of a lack of options. You don't want to save too much because you have debt that has relatively high interest rates. You don't want to spend too much because then you might not be able to meet the financial obligations that you have in addition to the student loan debt. So more than anything, it's just an overwhelming feeling of a lack of options. And so the prospect of cancellation got many people so excited, because there was a feeling of, wow, I can see a date on the calendar when I may be able to have more choices. And that has been by far the greatest disappointment to hear. Now that the plan is being blocked, people are back in that space of, oh no, payments are going to resume in early January, and I'm going to be back to that place of not having options.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money, student loans, holiday spending, and debt. How do you manage your own finances in this tricky economy? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Tisa, what do you think is the worst thing that someone can do regarding his or her student loans? I mean, beyond the obvious of not paying it. You should see Muriel just raise her eyebrows to the ceiling just now, because she was feeling what I was saying, trust me.
So the worst thing that a person can do outside of not paying them is to ignore them. I know that for some people, the back and forth of the news and the promise of cancellations and the blockage of cancellation, it's a lot. And it's something that produces a fair amount of anxiety. And for some, they actually have, trauma, guilt, and shame attached to these student loans. And when you feel that way about something, sometimes the easiest thing to do is ignore it so that you don't have to face those feelings. But with student loans, that's probably the worst thing that you can do, because there's so many changes going on. You want to make sure that when repayment does resume, you're in good standing. So I would encourage people to visit studentaid.gov, because that's where you can find the most up-to-date information on your federal student loan. You can see what repayment plan you're enrolled in, when your first payment is due, and just make sure that you are you have a proper knowledge of all the loans you owe, the servicers that those loans are held with, the payment dates that are coming up, and the repayment plans that they're enrolled in. This way, should repayment actually start in January 2023, as we're expecting right now, there won't be any surprises. They will be in a good position to make sure that they can keep those accounts in good standing.
But Muriel, is there a possible relief in other ways beyond this plan that is now on hold, President Biden's plan?
Well, as I understand it, they expanded the public loan student loan forgiveness program, and they made it easier for individuals that are engaged in public service to be able to get forgiveness. What's disappointing is that a large percentage of individuals with student loan debt who work in the public sector do not even realize that that's an opportunity.
Yeah, so how would they find that out?
Well, as our student loan expert has said, that same information is available on studentaid.gov on the public student loan forgiveness program. So if they work in public service, health, safety, nonprofit organizations that are serving low to moderate income communities, then, and after they've made a certain number of payments for a certain period of time, then they're actually eligible for that loan to be forgiven. And they did make some modifications, because it was that you had to have 120 consecutive payments. As I understand it now, it does not have to be consecutive payments. It just has to be a total number of payments. So, because most people say student loan debt will die with me and it amortizes over a 30-year period, if you've worked at a certain nonprofit for 10 plus years and you've made payments, one of the things that we talked about on a show that used to be hosted here was, even if the payments are unaffordable, then get an income-based repayment plan so that you're still making payments over the period of time. So when you're eligible to get the loan forgiven, you can actually have that loan amount forgiven. Mm-hmm. It is, as your other guest has spoken about, it's the knowledge of information and doing the research, not getting caught up in the chatter, mm-hmm. so that you can actually understand what your options are. Another good source is the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau has stood up a great site as it pertains to student loans for both pre and post. Pre being before you are getting ready to sign the dotted line to go to this particular college or institution, that you know what the cost of education is going to be, you know what you can anticipate your earnings to be after you graduate, and what that payment's going to be, so that you can make wiser decisions. They've also stood up information on forgiveness programs and repayment programs. Unfortunately, particularly Black and Brown people do not just have federal loans, they have private loans also. And the private entities do not have to play by the same federal playbook.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Student loans, holiday spending, and your debt. How do you manage your own finances in this tricky economy? Let's go to Ted, calling from Silver Spring. We lost Ted. Ted, give me a call back. Tisa, I remember years ago that there were certain forms of federal government service or career tracks where you could have your college debt, whatever it was, private or federal student loans, paid off. That, and I remember this had to do with certain branches of the service, such as the CIA, State Department, and the like. Are those things still happening?
Yes. So there are certain programs that are available through different agencies, and the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program is one that's more general, but it does cover all government agencies at the federal level, state level, local, and even tribal levels. So PSLF is more of a broad relief program for people who work in public service careers, but each agency may have things like student loan incentives. There's some that will actually pay off a certain amount of your debt in exchange for 2 to 3 years of service in particular areas. So the important thing is for people to gather information at every level. So if you know that someone's going to be working for the government, of course, Public Service Loan Forgiveness is a great program to learn about because it's a federal program. But they'd also want to visit the HR or benefits website for their particular agency so that they can see if there are any special incentive programs that are offered for people in their roles but that are specific to that agency. And I just wanted to add one more benefit there, because the question that I get asked many times is, well, what about me? I don't work in public service. And for the longest time, there really hasn't been a relief program that I could point people to. But right now, the Biden administration is involved in something called the IDR adjustment. This is a one-time review of everyone's accounts. So everyone who has federal student loans and has been in repayment, the Department of Education is going to be looking at their accounts to see how many months of repayment people have been in. And for some people who've been in repayment for 20 years, regardless of where they work or what type of career they have, they will have their debt canceled. Mm-hmm. For others, it will take 25 years. But the major point here is that there is finally an opportunity for people to have loan cancellation without having to work in public service.
See, so hold that point. I've got to take a really, really quick break. Also, Bradley calling from D.C. Don't hang up. We're going to take your call in just a few seconds. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Student loans, holiday spending, and your debt. Managing it in a tricky economy. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your money tonight, student loans, holiday spending, and your debt. How do you manage your own finances in a tricky economy? My guests are Dr. Tisa Silver Kennedy, award-winning author and student loan debt expert, and financial advisor Muriel Garr. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before we go to the phones, Tisa, go ahead and finish your point.
Sure. I just wanted to share that there's finally an opportunity for people to reach cancellation without the obligation to work in a public service career. And people can find more information about the IDR account adjustment by visiting studentaid.gov. Or there's an excellent website that was created by the Student Borrower Protection Center, and that website is cancelmystudentdebt.org. Again, that's cancelmystudentdebt.org, and there are plenty of resources there on the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, as well as the IDR account adjustment that will affect people who do not work in public service.
Well, that's not going to be hard to remember, cancelmystudentdebt.org.
Genius.
Yeah, how about that? Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bradley calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
For recent graduates, I have a question of, pertaining to the student loans. And I believe that Dr. Kennedy said that the repayment is supposed to start back in January. Do you recommend starting a repayment plan now?
So if you are a recent graduate, then your loans went straight into what's called the CARES Act forbearance, where interest is not accruing and you're not obligated to make a payment. If you wanted to pay early, then you always have that option. I would encourage you to visit studentaid.gov and take a look at the tool that's called the Loan Simulator. This is where you can use your loans and see what repayment would look like under different sets of plans. I also would want you to, of course, to stay up to date with information about cancellation so that if that does come through, you can factor that into your own repayment strategy. But the best place to start for federal student loans is studentaid.gov. And if your personal goal is to get rid of the debt as soon as possible, then you might want to make early payments. But if you want to be more strategic about it, maximizing benefits and minimizing your own cash flow outward, then I would say hold on, wait to see what's going to happen with that Biden plan, but make sure you use the loan simulator so that once repayment does begin, you have a plan in place that you can be successful with.
Okay. Bradley, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Michelle calling from Largo. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was calling to see what could be done about my debt. I owe a lot of people, but they're telling me I have to make a one-time payment out of my checking account, and then I can start mailing in my payments, which I don't trust them with that.
What kind of debt are you referring to, Michelle? Is it credit card debt or what?
Credit card debt. I have a couple of doctor bills, Home Depot. What else do I have? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, doctor bills, Home Depot, and
well, let me see what Muriel has to say. I mean, I think that short list is a good start.
So, Michelle, it sounds like the debt that you have is in a past due status. Would that be correct?
What do you mean?
Is the debt that you have in a past due status?
Yes.
So, more than likely, you're working with the credit or the collection area of that particular creditor, or they have charged the debt off. And so, one of the methods that collectors use in order to set up some type of payment plan, particularly if the debt is in arrears, is that they ask you to make a payment via your checking account, and then they're going to set up a payment plan. One of the reasons why they ask for that information is so that they can have information on where you do your basic banking and where your money may actually be at. And I can understand you feeling uncomfortable about that, because if they're going to take further collection action, then they have information regarding where your banking resources might be. One of the things I would suggest that you may want to do is, there are some free credit counseling services that are available, particularly in the DMV, and sit down and look at who it is that you owe. Sit down and write down a plan of who it is that you owe, what your income is, and then come up with what the plan is going to be to reduce all of that debt. You mentioned credit cards. You mentioned Home Depot. You also mentioned medical debt. Medical debt is one of the major things that adversely impacts people's credit, that you look at that and then come up with a comprehensive plan versus trying to work with these collectors one-off. Because if you're trying to work with them one-off, it could be very, very stressful. Then look at getting a partnership with a debt consolidation nonprofit that actually works with that, certified nonprofits. We've got a lot of them in the DMV, and work with them to help have them help you negotiate a payment plan with those creditors in order to get rid of that debt.
Okay. Michelle,
thank you so much. That's helpful. Thanks, Mr. Fisher.
Yeah, thank you. And Muriel as well. Thank you so much for your phone call. Yeah. Good luck to you, Michelle. So let me piggyback on that, Muriel, because, you know, I think people, you know, run, you know, the gamut of drowning in debt to, you know, their head is above water. Maybe their shoulders are a little wet.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, maybe the, you know, but they're not, you know, they're not drowning, where they are just trying to figure out, I want to get rid of this debt. You know, I've got a decent job, I've got some money, you know, but after I paid the minimum, let's say, you know, and everything else is paid, and I've got some money that I use for, you know, discretionary spending, but I want to put a little bit on this. Where do you recommend that they start, particularly as we've seen, you know, the Fed raising interest rates several times this year? Credit card interest rates are going up. So where do you start if you have three or four credit cards that you're trying to get rid of?
Yeah, most people are just one paycheck away from bankruptcy, even after we come out of COVID. You know, the whole thing is some people got a cold and other communities have pneumonia. So there are two basic rules of thumb. Either start with, first of all, list all the debt that you owe. Most people don't want to do that because that's a depressing thing. But if you list all the debt that you owe, then what's the interest rate on each one of those items? And then what's the term? And that's important because the interest rate is what you're paying somebody for the privilege of borrowing money. I suggest that individuals start with the item that has the highest amount of interest, and that's what you attack. First of all, we've said this numerous times, we don't pay during the grace period. We don't even pay on the due date. We pay early so that we're reducing the principal balance before that 30-day period. We're saving every penny that we can. The other rule of thumb is that some people are like, okay, if I start with the item with the highest interest rate, it's the one that I owe the most, and I need to be motivated to know that I'm actually impacting something. So others say, well, look at the item that has the small, that you have the smallest balance on, and you attack that first, because then you could feel good about yourself, pat yourself on the back. Either way, you know, you have to have a plan. So I'd say if you need short-term gratification, then do a little bit of both. If you come up with an extra, if your slush fund is an extra $400 a month, okay, well, take $300 of that and target the item with the highest interest rate. Take $100 of that and target the item, which is the low-hanging fruit, so that you can feel good about it. But either way, it starts with actually having a plan.
Yeah, and does that also apply to student loan payments? Let us say for, you know, someone who is paying their student loan, you know, now, that they, you know, say they didn't, you know, their income didn't
Qualify for any of these programs, because these programs have an income gap
or
income cap.
Yeah, and they have a good job.
Right. If you're making more than $125,000, if you're single, $250,000 in a married household, you're not going to qualify for this. But if you're well paid and you want to get rid of your student loans, then you need to factor that into it. But you also, the more you're paid, that's when we talk about who is on your financial board of advisors, meeting with the tax consultant and determining how you're going to attack and structure your debt in order to maximize other opportunities as it pertains to your money. Does that make sense?
No, drill down a little bit more for that. Yeah, because I've got you and Tisa on my board. Right. This is a board. This is a Daily Drum board meeting right now. I don't have a student loan, but no. But please go ahead.
Well, you know, Muriel. The interesting thing about money is it is a tool and a resource that many of us have not had the opportunity to sit around a table and talk about. So, in some instances, for some people, student loan debt is a tax write-off, based on where they are, right? Now, the question is, do they realize it and are they writing it off? And so you had to be, you know, I say wherever there's an opportunity to pay your fair share of taxes, you pay your fair share of taxes. But wherever there's an opportunity to receive back your fair share, thou should receive back their fair share.
Thou shalt receive. That's the 11th commandment.
So Tisha, let's see what Tisha says.
Yeah, what do you say, Tisha? I mean, should you treat your student loan like a credit card that you're trying to pay off?
So it really comes down to what your goal is. When I meet with people, I ask them, what kind of person are you? Are you a person that wants to get rid of the debt as soon as possible? Are you a person who could add a little bit of extra time if it means maximizing benefits? Or are you someone right now that just doesn't have the cash flow and you're looking to just keep these accounts in good standing? So it really comes down to personal goals. And I think for some people, they just don't, they're not familiar with all the options that are available to student loan borrowers. They think, well, this one plan that's here, if I don't pay that, then there's nothing else that I can do. When that's not true, there are at least 8 repayment plans available. Some of them have varying eligibility criteria, but there are options. The two main categories of options are balance-driven plans, which are purely based on how much you owe, and income-driven plans, where you can actually have a monthly payment that's based on your income and household characteristics. So there's flexibility there, but really it comes down to the person's goal. There's some people that could get benefits through some of these forgiveness and cancellation programs, but they just hate the debt so much that they want it gone as soon as possible. And I can help them get that done too. What I really would like for people to walk away with is that the road to zero is different for everyone, but you have to be actively involved in this process. It's not something that you just ignore, set to the side, and allow the servicer to make decisions for you. It's something that you need to look at, take a full inventory, and then just figure out what is your goal with this debt. And once you know what you owe, you have a goal, you can put a strategy into place that will allow you to meet your goal, as well as make sure that you're being responsible for your other financial obligations and possibly save and invest.
I want to get back to debt reduction in just a bit, but something just occurred to me that Tisa said. Because we've been talking in this conversation about how do you pay off your student loan, or where we are with the student loan debt reduction plan that's caught up in the courts and all of the politics. But what if you are, say, a high school senior right now who has been accepted to whatever university and you're going to go next year, and you're trying to figure out how to finance it if your parents didn't hit the Powerball last week, okay? So how should a potential college student or prospective college student, Tisa, look at the student loan situation moving forward, where they have no student loan debt because they're not in college yet, but they suspect that they may? What do you suggest, short of them, getting full ride athletic or academic scholarships?
So the first thing I would advise them to do is to complete the FAFSA. That's the free application for federal student aid. And I suggest the FAFSA because even though it's a federal form, and of course it, could open the door for Pell Grants and student loans, it's also often used as the application for aid at the school level as well as the state level. So without the FAFSA, it might be difficult for them to be considered for other forms of aid, especially scholarships and grants. Beyond the FAFSA, I would encourage every young person to visit the website for their state or for the District of Columbia, for the city's higher education governing agency. Take a look there and see what types of aid programs they have for city residents, especially scholarships and grants. After tapping out the government, then they need to look at their schools, all the schools that they're interested in. What types of institutional scholarship and grant programs are there, and what are the qualifications? And when they've examined that mix, they've really got to think about, what it takes to go debt-free. I am a huge proponent of people going to school debt-free if possible. I know that that possibility isn't as great as it used to be, so if they do have to use loans, understand that there's nothing wrong with it, but you just don't want to enter into those things recklessly. For those that find themselves in a situation where they need to borrow to cover the cost, always choose federal student loans first. Muriel mentioned this earlier, but private lenders do not have to play by the same rules. With the federal government, everyone is treated the same. The interest rates are the same for the loans. The application is the same. The repayment options are the same. So max out federal eligibility first, and if you have to take additional loans, then consider private lenders. But I would love for everyone to not have to go that route at all.
Yeah, and it sounds like if you don't do the work on this side of college, you will have a lot of work ahead on the other side when you graduate and you've got that student loan debt that you've got to pay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So back to this debt reduction thing. This is outside of the student loan issue. A friend of a friend of a friend asking literally for a friend. Not me, certainly, but
A friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I hope she's listening, because this is really it really is so important. She lives in another state, and she had done one of those $500 payday loans because she got in a bind, and then got some paperwork she had been paying, but that $500 has now turned into more than $3,000 with the 700% interest rate. Now, certainly here in the District of Columbia and some 17 other states, payday loans are illegal. But, you know, with that said, where they are not illegal, this kind of predatory lending is at best problematic, at worst can really sink you deep, deep down into debt. Short of when you get paid the next time, Muriel, and just paying that $500 off or however much you got, when you get neck deep into this kind of debt, how do you get out of it? I mean, it's financial slavery.
It is financial slavery, and it's unfortunate that we live in a society where people have to rely on those loans, which are actually the whole thing of usury. But the options are, and you said it, you know, when you get paid, just pay it off,
mm-hmm.
because the debt's going to have to be paid off. But the first thing you really need to do is get a written payment plan from the lender with an amortization schedule. I was getting ready, and you were going to ask me, what was an AM schedule? Get a written plan, because generally speaking, the payday lenders don't provide you a written plan. They tell you this is the payment amount, but a written plan month by month. And then if, you know, and this is going to be tricky, because individuals get into payday loan situations because they need them, but then sometimes they don't know that they have other loan options, particularly in... You're giving me that eyebrow
look.
Yeah,
that's it, because I've never heard that before.
You've given me that eyebrow look, but it is amazing how many people, particularly black and brown people, that do not realize they could qualify for loans at a bank or a credit union because of this negative stigma that those institutions have that have been discussed and passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, employers will advance a paycheck if an employee is in a certain financial situation. So the goal is get a written plan and then come up with a source to actually pay it off.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to make some people upset, and I don't mind doing that, because this is your money. And the thing that we've discussed, Muriel, on this program, you know, time and time again, is changing the mindset of people of color when it comes to money. And, you know, where we have, we got to look good on Sunday. In our Sunday go to meet and close, and we've got...
That doesn't mean that we have to pay Neiman Marcus, and no offense. That doesn't mean...
No.
I think, so, our goal...
But this is what I'm talking about.
Our goal... This is what I'm talking about. I don't, you know, I don't want to villainize...
You want to demonize Neiman Marcus
Neiman Marcus.
Nordstrom's, or anybody. I get it.
I think we get so caught up in the label and how much we paid for something that we don't realize that at the end of the day, we don't know how the person we're trying to impress is really living. We talked about that on It's Your Money, Make It Your Business. So you're living in the same neighborhood. The person across the street seems to be going on vacation at least 3 times a year, and you're trying to figure out why you can't. Well, the person across the street has an 800 credit score, and so his mortgage cost was totally different than your mortgage cost, which is why he can go on vacation 3 times, because he's paying during when the market, everything was blowing up, COVID, he refinanced his mortgage and he's got a 2.5% mortgage. When the market blew up as a result of COVID, because your credit was jacked up, because you had student loans, you had credit cards, you went out and bought a new luxury car. So your debt to income ratio was 60%. And so you couldn't qualify for a 2.5% mortgage. So you're sitting with a 7 or 8% mortgage. So you're paying a whole lot more out of pocket each month than your neighbor across the street. We have gotten conditioned to impress people on our outward appearance while we are struggling internally.
But Muriel, didn't your girlfriend tell you about that sale this weekend?
My girlfriend did tell me about that.
And you know your mama told you to make sure that you always looked good and smelled good.
And my mother always told me to make sure I look good and I smell good. You're absolutely right. But my mother always had a closet full of clothes with tags on it. And as a result of that, what happened was I became a different person. So eBay sells a whole lot of stuff at 10% of the ticket price. I am not embarrassed to buy from eBay. And I also understand in some of those upper income communities where they have Goodwill and thrift and consignment stores, where people just buy something and then they just don't want to wear it, it's out. I can ride up into those communities and get the same look and pay 10 cents on a dollar from what someone else is actually paying. Now, that's a mindset because it took me a moment to get there. So I'm not going to say to somebody who doesn't think like me that there's a problem. But I will say, as our student loan expert guest has said today, what's important to you? Mm-hmm. Is it important to you to go out and spend money so people can think that you have what you don't have, to get what you don't need, to get where you really don't want to go? Or is it important for you to be able to have some money set aside so that you can enjoy whatever it is that's out there in the world that you want to enjoy? Because there's nothing worse than having a big house and not having any furniture in it, or not being able to pay the heat bill, or going to buy a luxury vehicle and then you can't afford to put gas in it.
Or repair it. Yeah.
Or you're hiding it in the backyard because you don't want it to be repossessed.
Ooh, wow.
So we have to get to a point where we are our Black Friday. What does that mean? That the most important person to us is us. That how we spend our money is a reflection on what we want, not right now, but for our children and for our children's children, so that we can be in control of our own destiny and not allowing someone else to tell us what we can or cannot do.
Tisa, talk to me about your thoughts about, you know, the mindset changing, piggybacking on what Muriel was saying.
You know, I would like to see a mindset change around student loans. And I say that because going into higher education, many of us, especially in the Black and brown community, are encouraged to go, but without as much of an emphasis on the return on investment of going. So it becomes this mentality of the more education I get, the more I'm going to earn. No one can take this away from me, so I'm just going to go because once I get the education, they'll give me that promotion. They'll give me more money. It's just like you're just thinking that if you do this one thing, then everything else will work out. But when it doesn't work out, there's a sense of embarrassment there. And there's embarrassment there because you've gone down this road of doing what you thought was the right thing, what everyone else told you was the right thing, but without a plan to pay for it. And if things didn't pan out for you, you're stuck with this debt that people don't want to talk about. So one of the biggest obstacles that I have to overcome in one-on-one advising sessions is getting people to actually open up and talk about it. And just talking about it and getting to a place of acknowledgement and then being open to developing a plan to address it. So I would like to see on the front end more careful consideration about the cost and the sources of paying for higher ed, and on the back end, just less embarrassment around having student loan debt and what one perceives would be a significant amount. I've worked with people who owe from $2,000 to more than $500,000, and the way that I face them is the same. That's from a place of no judgment. But that needs to be something that we that more people arrive at that place of not being embarrassed about it and being okay with talking about it, because the only way that they'll get to a place where they can fix it is after they acknowledge it first.
You know, a quick story. I remember a couple of years ago when I, you know, I paid off my car and I was talking to one of my frat brothers on the phone, and I just happened to mention it to him in passing. And he said, yeah, I know you're just ready to go ahead and trade your Toyota in for a new Mercedes. I said, you know, I would love a Mercedes, but a paid-for Toyota rides just fine.
It The front of the vehicle gets there the same time, and it doesn't matter whether or not it's got a what symbol is on, as long as it runs and it doesn't break down on the highway.
And to the point that you were making earlier, you know, Muriel, it does. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with people who do drive, you know, luxury cars. You know, I like to look good. I like not to feel as many bumps, but not having that $411 car payment for now almost, I don't know, 3 years feels really, really good.
Because you've made a decision on what's important to you as far as your quality of life. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we live in a society where we are... people measure us externally by what they see externally, not what they know about us as an individual. Mm-hmm. And that impacts how we feel about ourselves. I'm not naive to the fact that how people view us impacts how we view ourselves.
Mm, for some folks.
For some folks.
And then some folks just don't care.
Well, it's
just like me.
I don't think that you're a person that does not care, because I've had various conversations with you on your mindset of, you know, I do this with my money because I want to be in a position where I can always be able to say yes to my daughter.
Right.
So you've made so that's it goes back to what our other guest is saying, what's important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It indeed it does. But you know, like they say, I'm paying the bills in this house. And I'm glad that I still can. That's the blessing.
I was waiting on you to come to that part. The fact that you have the capacity to do it, that says that you've made some good choices.
Without losing any sleep. Dr. Tisa Silver Kennedy and Muriel Garr, thank you both for talking to us. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, November 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.